We had a closed session immediately prior to this, and we have offered direction to staff. There is nothing else to report from closed session. May we please have the roll call?
Certainly, Chairperson. Okay, so Chairperson?
Here.
Commissioner Gaffney?
Here.
Commissioner Borstein?
Here.
Commissioner Bushy?
Here.
And Commissioner Cullen?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, next up on the agenda is open period for public participation. We allot up to 2 minutes per speaker on items not on tonight's agenda. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak?
I would like to speak. I'm a little unclear on the process here, so unfortunately, I was a little bit late. I was actually here early thinking that it was going to get started at 6. I didn't see anybody in here, so...
Closed session at 6:30.
Yeah, I know. That's my fault. I'm interested in the negotiations, the retirement benefits. My name's Al Fiore. I work here as an operations supervisor. I've been in the PERS system for 30 years, of which 20 years have been here. Mine is a couple months. We'll round up to 20 years. And it's kind of unfortunate because at this point in time, after 30 years, I actually do not know what my benefit, my retirement benefit is. And it's unfortunate that PERS, the way they're set up, I mean, I know that there are some things going on, and I know there's some law that's playing into this, and that's unfortunate, and I don't envy you guys for having to straighten this somewhat of a mess out. But nevertheless, after 30 years, I really don't know what my retirement benefit is. No. PERS says, okay, it's X, which includes the 8% EPMC, but in fact, I wouldn't find out that I'm not going to get it, if that's the case with PERS law, for 2 to 3 months after I retire, which is crazy. I think we could all agree with that, that we're expected to make life-altering decisions to retire, and you really don't know what your retirement benefit is. That makes absolutely no sense to me. I'm a little, as I said before, I'm a little unclear on how some of this works because when it, and this just may all be my interpretation, it says adjourn to closed session employee, I guess this may just be the topics, but I kind of thought it says employee organization, SEIU, and unrepresented employees, which I'm unrepresented, so I thought, well, if I could participate, I'd like to show up, but that may not be the case, but I'm here to participate if that's the case, and I'm here to also discuss retirement benefits, which I would like to say I'm in no way in favor of just letting that 8% go. I mean, I understand that PERS law may be PERS law, and that's that issue. But I believe there's another issue that we entered into an agreement, and I would hope that that agreement would be honored. So that's what I'm here to say, and that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you very much.
And just if I may get some clarification on, so this, when it says unrepresented employees, it doesn't mean unrepresented employees can participate, right? Okay, I wasn't sure. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say, really.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak at open time? Okay. Thank you. Let's move on then to consent calendar, agenda item number 8. Matters listed under the consent calendar agenda item are considered routine and will be enacted by one motion. Any member of the public... or the commission or staff can ask for a particular item to be removed. Otherwise, it'll be approved in one motion. Is there anybody who'd like to remove anything? Seeing none, I'd entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the consent calendar.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item number 9, selection of commission officers and board committee appointments for fiscal year 18. Jason?
Okay, so, you know, we have three officers, you know, the chair, the vice chair, and the secretary. We've historically had three members on the finance committee. Then the CMSA is a member of the North Bay Watershed Association. As a member, we can appoint someone from the agency. It could be staff, could be board member, as the agency's representative on that board. And then we also appoint an alternate to that board when the representative can't attend. So on the staff report, you can see that right now the commission chair is vacant because Kathy Hartzell retired. Vice chair first is acting as chair. And Al Boro, who's on a kind of a medical leave, he is the secretary. At the standing finance committee, we had three members. Commissioner Bushy had to withdraw from participation in the committee a while back because of her new job and time commitments there. Commissioner Hartzell, well, Kathy Hartzell now we'll call her. She's no longer on the committee, so we have two vacancies. And we have Commissioner Borstein as the North Bay Watershed representative, and I'm his alternate. So that's how it currently stands. So what we've done in the past is the board just either nominates, you know, a slate or individuals for officers. Then they vote on slate or each. And then they move on to the finance committee and look for anybody that wants to volunteer. The finance committee is a fun time. We have a good time at the finance committee, right? Let's take care of our business.
Is that your heart?
Yeah. Real soft on that one.
I kind of like you to position by position. I'd like to nominate Diane first to be commission chair.
And I would like to second that.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'd be delighted to nominate Tom Gaffney for the commission vice chair position.
Okay. Thank you.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
How about secretary?
Secretary signs things, right?
Signs the minutes.
Is that pretty much it?
How has that been handled since Al was
gone? With Al.
Diane has been signing. And Al's.
Yeah, there's no requirement in the GEPA that the secretary sign certain things.
I didn't even realize
a lot of that's been delegated to staff.
Okay, mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that it was Al that I was doing that in place of. It is literally signing the minutes at the end of the meeting.
Are you willing to continue with that duty?
Well, but I'm the chair, so I think we should have somebody else as secretary.
I'll do it. I mean, I'm here.
Yeah, listen. Michael, it's somebody who attends the meetings, I think.
Right.
That's the key.
But it would be my preference that Al remain in that role until he decides to leave.
Got it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And then, so maybe, as you are vice chair, you could take on the signing responsibilities until Al returns.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Right. Good. I like that.
Thank you.
So... Mary high. Beth has nominated Al Boro to continue as secretary. Is there a second?
Second.
Great.
You'll have to fight that
nope.
one out.
I'm not fighting.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
And I volunteer for the finance committee.
Good, because you're already on it.
We'd be delighted to vote for you.
Is that a second, Mary Beth?
Yes, I second that.
Okay, good.
I'd also like to nominate Dean DiGiovanni for the Finance Committee.
Okay.
Hold
on, though. If he's the alternate, can we do that?
Can an alternate be on?
Sure, yeah. Cool. Alternates can be on.
Because I was going to be on, remember, and I wasn't even on the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. All right.
Dean.
Preview board committee. Not me raising my hand. This is fun.
Okay, so
great.
Kate seconded. Okay.
Okay,
so all in favor of Dean for vacancy number one on the Finance Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Vacancy number two.
Well, we were thinking, you know, two might be enough. We have Jason, so that's three. But if somebody wants to do it, that'd be wonderful.
I would say there might be some people who might think two people from Ross Valley on the Finance Committee might look a little bit weird, but Jason was saying it's a standing committee, and I learn so much when I go to these things that I'd really like to go, but I don't have to be an official member to where it looks.
Well, what do you think?
It's a standing committee, so because of that, it follows per the board's policy on using committees. Even though it acts as an ad hoc committee, mm-hmm. but the board is designated a standing committee, so because of that, we follow the Brown Act, so it's an open meeting to the public. We produce an agenda. We notice the meetings. So any member of the public, like Commissioner Borstein, as a member of the public, can come and sit in the audience.
But do you think in terms of appearances or in terms of the JPA agreement and the board policies, it would be okay to have two RVSD?
Yeah, so the JPA doesn't have any requirements for committees. It's silent on committees. And that particular board policy, it just says we'll have a finance committee as a standing committee. It doesn't designate a number of board members. It says it's less than a quorum.
Yeah, it's fine, because Dean's on there, too. I think it's fine.
So would you like to be Dean's on there, too?
I would love to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
let's do that, and then shall we have a sort of an informal understanding that it would be our preference that the Finance Committee, if they're going to vote for something, that it be done unanimously and not by majority vote?
Okay.
Does that
sure.
make
sense? That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if they can't come to a consensus, maybe bring it
to
the board.
Right,
if they can't come to the board, just they bring it back to the board.
Okay, sure, okay.
That should
that work?
Okay. So, Mary Beth, would you like to
I would like to
Michael?
Nominate Michael Borstein for the vacancy number 2 on the Standing Finance Committee.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent.
Okay.
Now, Michael, are you interested in continuing North Bay Watershed?
Yes, with the caveat, and maybe we should, I would actually like to do it, and there's a lot of reasons, representing RVSD to the North Bay Watershed Association for reasons I won't go into, but
okay.
I would like that to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It would happen next week. So if we wanted to
right now.
Are you
pretty certain it's happening next week? I mean, like, you're ready to give up this, regardless of, or do you want to wait a month?
It's who I'm representing.
Okay.
So, I mean, for right now, we could say, look, we'll just do it.
But we need somebody from
CMSA.
Commission.
Yes. Are you willing to give up CMSA at this point with the understanding or hope
sure.
that you get the other one next week?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll get the other one next week. That's not a problem.
Okay. Who wants to step into North Bay Watershed? It's actually really interesting.
It is so cool,
it's just,
and it's getting better. It's
not
just
hours in the day.
There's not enough hours in the
yeah.
day, but boy, have they had some amazing. Every time they just have the best speakers.
Jason, do you go every time, or you've let Michael go?
Michael, he's been a very great representative for CMC board, so I have not attended.
Thank you. And you had the last meeting here.
That's right.
Which we'll talk about tonight.
But are they going to start videotaping those meetings?
Well, you
I'm sorry, I'm showing my age. Video recording those meetings?
You would think so, but I haven't.
Live streaming.
It's been brought up.
Do you think Dean would like to do that?
Or Dan.
Well, we've already given Dean, in his absence, one appointment. I don't know. Two might be.
Could we leave it to Jason and maybe revisit this?
May
cinema?
I make a suggestion?
What?
There's no North Bay Watershed meeting next month.
Okay.
And we can just look at it the next time.
Okay, so let's leave
bring it back in September.
And you could go, if we haven't done anything yet,
see if we can talk.
We'll have a good time.
Okay. How about you guys? Yeah, I'll go as the alternate then
yeah.
at the September
yeah.
meeting, and I'll have it on the September agenda.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 Make sure Dan's at that meeting.
Yeah, make sure Dan's there.
Yeah.
We're looking it in. Okay.
And if anything changes,
all right.
Alrighty, I think that takes care of that agenda item. Let's move on to agenda item number 10. Consider canceling the August regular board meeting.
I'm not going to get cookies and sandwiches.
Well, I heard it was going to be pizza night. So.
You're on your own, folks. You have to feed yourselves.
I'm prepared to move that we cancel the August board meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. Agenda item number 11, proposed fiscal year 2017-2018 agency business plan.
Okay. You ready for that? Okay. So last July, the board approved the agency's five-year strategic business plan. And that was the third five-year plan that the board's adopted. And part of that strategic plan was a fiscal year 17 business plan. It was kind of a different model than we used in the past. And this model is that the five-year plan includes the vision for the agency, the mission, some core values, then organizational goals. So that's the five-year strategic plan. And then each year, the staff would bring back to the board in July a business plan to support the goals in the strategic plan that aligns with the vision and mission and values. So that way, each year we can bring something back. And the process would be we bring a report to the board of the current year's plan in June. And we did that last month with the FY17 plan. We received a lot of positive comments from you, so staff appreciated that. And then in July, we bring the proposed FY18 plan. So attached to the staff report, we have the proposed FY18 plan, and it was developed by our agency's strategic planning committee, which has, I think, around 13 to 14 members, and it's from various levels within the organization and people from different departments, so it's a good representation of the organization staff. And the plan is attached, and it starts with one of the goals that has the supporting objectives and actions. So the objectives a little more detail, in a focused area. Then actions are, the tasks, the activities, projects, initiatives to support the objective, which then supports the goal. So I could either, at the board discretion, I could walk through each of the action items and tell you about it, or I could answer any questions you have about the action items or the objectives in the proposed FY18 plan.
Well, I thought it was laid out really well, so I personally do not feel the need for you to go through and read every single one. Should we take it maybe one page at a time?
Sure.
That way we can discuss the various goals.
I was thinking that you could... Some of these are continuing. Remember your report last month?
Yeah.
And it might, like continuing action, you get an action, and then some of them are continuing actions.
That's correct.
I don't know if that's worth it to label those, but just to show their oral.
I think it actually dilutes from the impact a little bit, personally.
Yeah. It's what we're trying to accomplish this year.
It's a work plan. I agree with that.
It's a work plan.
It's laid out really well. And I think just talking about the goals in general, I think, makes sense. But I wouldn't go through each of these actions. They're very specific. Very in the weeds.
In the FY17 plan, there were maybe 60 actions. Mm-hmm. I think we completed maybe 38 of them. Mm-hmm. 7 were delayed, which we explained in the staff report. So those delayed ones were included in the FY18 plan. Then the balance were continuing activities, like the interconnection agreement with PG&E. Some of the tasks associated with that were continuing. The finishing the construction of the maintenance building modification project, that was continuing. So all the delayed continue items are captured in this year's proposed plan.
Okay, so any concerns, comments, additions to goal one?
One of the things that we've sort of been discussing, just generalizations, and I think RVSD would like to maybe put it somewhere in here if it's an appropriate place, maybe a line item under one of these, is the concept of we don't know exactly what's happening over at our Larkspur Landing where we do our operations, and we're going to have to do some modifications over there for our staff, our operations staff.
And when you say we, you mean
RVSD.
Okay.
Or it has been discussed and brought up in the past a little bit, the idea, the concept, that maybe we could move our operations to a one-acre piece of this property where we actually used to be in the past. And so I would like to just consider somewhere in here that we might have staff begin talking amongst themselves and to RVSD to consider the possibility of sometime in the future moving our operations.
That's premature to put it in here. Jason, do you think that that's within the scope of your general authority to consider ideas like that and bring them forward should you deem them to be a wise use of CMSA resources?
Generally, I would, if I thought it was worthwhile and there was a kind of a regional benefit, I would bring it to the board as a discussion item. If the board wanted to include it in the business plan, it would be appropriate to put it under Goal 4, Objective 4.2. We can put it there. A little bit of history is Ross Valley did move here back in 2007, and they spent about, I forget the number, maybe $500,000 on making improvements, utility improvements within our corporation yard. They put in a small, you know, pump station, sewer pump station, a sewer line, ran water line, utility lines out to an area, brought in a fire protection water line, you know, from the front of this building back there. They brought in a couple modular offices. We had a appraiser come do an appraisal of that corporation yard by square foot, and then we actually entered into a lease agreement with Ross Valley, and they had most of their office staff and some of their field staff located in offices out here in the corp yard, and they used probably about two-thirds out of that corporation yard or so.
Sounds correct.
Yeah, and that worked out fine. We were receiving about $5,000 a month, $4,000 for lease rental fee, then $1,000 for energy and utilities and just some maintenance, you know, allowances. And Ross Valley was on site for about 3 years until they bought the office building over in San Rafael. Then they moved off site. But all that infrastructure that they invested in is still in the site at the corporation yard. So the concept that I talked with Michael and Tom about and their manager would be that they could move some modular offices in the same spot connected to those utilities, and their field crew could have some offices here in like a locker room. They could park. We have plenty of employee parking spaces where they used to park, and then there's some spaces for larger vehicles, limited. So it's definitely feasible, and there'd be some revenue, you know, from Ross Valley, you know, to cover expenses.
And it wouldn't be our office. It would just be the field.
Field crew.
Well, it sounds like you've done it before. Did you need board approval before?
So the way it worked before was approval from the board to do all the reconnaissance and research, mm-hmm. and put a plan together. Mm-hmm. Then approval from the board based on that plan and the feasibility to develop a lease agreement. Then it came back with approval of lease agreement. So it was like a three-step process in the past.
And so what we're asking, we talked to Jason about this yesterday, is could we get it on maybe one of the goals? And I think you said, Jason, that really we should have an agenda item for the board to discuss putting it on as a goal.
Here's my difficulty. Is it's going to be 2 months till we have our next board meeting here, and we're coming up on another winter, and on top of that, we're going to start remediation. I don't know if we're going to start. We're in heavy discussions to begin remediation on the site pretty soon, and I'm just thinking if we could somehow put it in here, just not that we make a decision, but that the next time when we bring it up as an item, we have some more information available to us.
But
I can't do that without putting it somewhere in this
agenda.
We're
already committed to interagency cooperation, and we've done this in the past.
Okay.
So I think this road is well paved.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so put it under 4.2, and then it can be talked about.
Yeah.
More. Because this is a work plan. I see this as a work plan.
Yes.
I mean, that's what this is. And so it's to have Jason and have staff spend resources, time, money, effort towards it. It should be in this document. So it sounds like there's already been a lot of discussion about it. There's going to be further discussion. It should be captured here.
We were thinking like an agenda item, begin discussions of possible relocation for some personnel.
But that agenda item is different than what we're talking about here. We're talking about the business plan.
Okay, well, the business plan, a business plan action to begin consideration.
Well, my concern with that is that really this is a proposal that is coming from Ross Valley Sanitary at this point. It really hasn't been vetted to any great degree here at this agency,
right,
except for the 1980s, right? You said it was that long ago?
It was 2006.
Oh, God. So it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
But still, it's been a long time, and I feel like putting it in here is really committing the agency somewhat to taking action beyond just maybe preliminary talks, and it sounds to me like it's still very much in the preliminary talk, and I would love to have it come back to the board on an agenda for us to discuss.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate
you know, the thinking that we can collaborate and come up with some mutually beneficial solution
here. I have zero problem with any of that. If the idea of preliminary talks, so that when maybe in September we have an agenda item, some of those talks, preliminary talks, may have already occurred, so we can have some ideas that might be more than just there's a little area back there. What do you think?
Well, how about we'll have on the agenda in September, you know, initial discussion of the feasibility of Ross Valley moving here. And we can bring a lot of the information that I just kind of mentioned to the board.
That'd be great.
I'll get that's together with their manager a couple times. We're meeting tomorrow. We're talking about various city activities.
Let's agendize it. And in the next couple of months, you can get more information.
No problem.
Perfect.
That's good. Okay. All right. So I originally said we were going to go through this one page at a time. Can we just do that real quick, and then people can mention if they want additions or changes? Okay, so goal one. Any additions or changes?
So we're going to apply for the silver award, not the platinum award. Is that
about you not?
Is that
the difference? We're all pretty upset about that.
Yeah. It's like gold. Isn't it platinum, gold, silver?
You're platinum in our hearts.
Yeah.
It was all that I and I.
Yeah, we're going to work on that.
Okay.
I have no comments on goal one.
No, that's
okay. Goal two? Okay, sounds like it's...
No, I've looked all over it. All
right. Goal three. I just had one thing, and I discussed this with Jason earlier, but I want to give him and the staff a special thank you for the second action item under 3.2, provide recycled water for uses other than sewer line flushing. I'm really glad we're moving forward on other uses.
Yeah. So. What are they? Do we have any? I mean,
well, there's quite a few allowable uses under the state law, Title 22, the regulations. Because we produce secondary 23 recycled water, and there's a lot of different things to be used for.
Okay.
Some limited, you know, irrigation, dust control, street, sidewalk cleaning, sewer line flushing. But right now, we're only using a very limited amount of it for sewer line flushing. But to expand it, we need to work with the water district, and really they need to take the lead on identifying, you know, potential users within their service area and contacting them.
So, for instance, we could work with the county of Marin, and they could use it to water down.
Yeah, it would be the water district working with the county of Marin. The county would have to get a permit, and as long as they have the permit, we'll let them in and fill up their trucks.
Okay.
In the meantime, get your sewer trucks over here to fill up. So,
well, that's an interesting thing, because on Friday, during which I would have talked about, but it seems an appropriate place to bring it up, we had the North Bay Watershed Association meeting was held here, and Jason gave us a great tour of the facility, and everybody walked around and was so impressed, they loved it. And we had the inaugural fill-up of a Ross Valley Sanitary District truck out there.
Yay.
And everybody watched it getting filled up.
Right.
And Greg fears that, you know, now we're really going to start filling up, that we will actually begin using approximately 500,000 gallons a year of recycled water, is what he estimates.
Excellent. Great. Any other additions or changes to goal three? All right. Goal four. Wow. Jason, not many... changes here.
That's good.
All right, goal five.
Yeah, we've been working with these for.
But for when's the JPA? When is that coming up? Do we have a
revised JPA?
Yeah,
it's on the agenda. Just kidding. Yeah. we had our committee kickoff meeting, and then we are all primed for our first meeting to review some, you know, revisions. But we due to vacations and various things, we canceled that. So we're meeting on July 27th to review five sections of the JPA that we have revised.
Okay.
And that's at 8 a.m.?
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Goal five? I had a couple of things on goal five. Under objective 5.3, enhance employee work culture, I had suggested that we do something like a suggestion box, and Jason mentioned that
you know,
you've had one. Is it still there?
I talked to Kate, and we found it. And
you found it?
It was behind a lunchbox.
Anything in it?
Well, there was a key in it, and I'm thinking that all these great suggestions, someone had opened up and taken them out. So I took the key out, gave it to Kate, so Kate's going to be in charge of the key now. Then we're gonna talk about it internally, and we're going to put it somewhere else, remind employees, here's a general suggestion box, please put any suggestions, anonymous suggestions in here. Then we'll take a look at them every couple weeks and discuss them at the executive team level and departments as appropriate. So thanks for bringing that up, because I rediscovered the box.
Good. Okay.
Excellent.
I like the barbecue and holiday party. I thought that sounded fun. I like that's an action item on here.
Exactly.
Those events, I like that.
I also just had one comment about Objective 5.4, maintain a safe and secure work environment, and that is just maybe beefing up the thinking around surrounding security. For instance, maybe the Safety and Security Committee, as they prepare a new charter document, can look at security procedures and just kind of incorporate that more. It mentions safety in three of those items, but it only mentions security in one. So,
do we want to create a new action, or just some direction that the new safety security look at, agency policies related to security, and if they find some weaknesses in the policies or some recommend improvements that would make
security. Those. Security, is that what you're thinking?
I just think it needs to be at the forefront of our minds every bit as much as safety. Mm-hmm. I will leave it to the committee. Do you think it needs a separate bullet item action item?
If we have it as a separate action item, then we assign, a lead person to it, then they track on it, and they're supposed to make sure things are getting done and moving forward.
Okay.
So it'd be assigned, so we have a lead person on it, and that person will work with the Safety and Security Committee.
Okay, so identify a safety or a security.
Well, how about developing a security, you got a training
action
calendar.
Plan?
Yeah, action or
security,
something.
Yeah.
Or security review.
Yeah, I'd use the word review first, because first you want
okay.
review. So
oh, that's
review
true.
Security,
yeah.
And then what you were just talking about, implementing the plan.
You know,
identify, review agency security policies and procedures, and identify any improvements.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Continuous needs to be in it.
And that can be continuous.
Right, it has to be continuous, because there's new safety threats all the time.
Okay, so that's okay.
Do you know the rating agencies are very interested in security too, and they ask questions about it, including the IT security program, which we did
recently.
Yeah,
yeah.
They really like that.
And safety too. Safety
right.
protocols are
good.
Critical.
Yep. Excellent.
Six.
And then goal six. I had one addition to this, and that is under Objective 6.3, improved methods of communication. I thought it might be a good idea to explore new avenues for broader dissemination of public educational efforts. For instance, when we come up with a newsletter or interesting things about what to flush and what not to flush, send it out to the city clerk so that they can put it on next door or include it in a town newsletter or have the city disseminate this information. Because I feel like, we don't have a strong presence in the general public. So, thoughts?
And how can we be talking about communications without talking about modern forms
yes.
of communication? And I don't see anything on here about, really using some of the more online type of things that are available. I mean, do we have a Facebook page?
No, we do not.
Yeah.
So I just said explore new avenues.
Well, but
is that not?
I think we need to be a little bit more specific. We probably should have a Facebook page. Tweeting out what's going, you could have a tweet a day of what's the status, how many gallons did we do, what are the big issues, I mean, that's modern communication. We need to...
I totally agree. And have it keep it broad, because I mean, I don't know enough about the target audience and all that, because that's part of it, too. Those are all different, depending on what you're going at. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want... The younger you need to be Instagram, but to turn around and tell you guys to do those four things, that's just, it's too much. It would be a strain. So
I might suggest RVSD has this year, we're doing a big push with public outreach, mm-hmm. and we've retained a firm called NV5, which is a nationwide big organization that knows how to do exactly all of that stuff. Well, because I'm not going to, our constituents, I'm going to assume, are reasonably close to your constituents and your constituents.
Absolutely.
And we've done those studies already about, NV5 has done that for us.
Right.
What do you expect? What do you want? What
exactly.
kind of presence do you need?
Exactly.
And it might be worthwhile to contact Mary over at RVSD and get the name of Gabriella. And just maybe have a conversation about where we might be able to piggyback. There's some expenses that could be saved.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially sharing that information would be great. I mean, that's really generous of you. I mean, that's very similar.
You know, at CASA, I guess it was last year, I think it's Dublin San Juan Services District, does a, I think it's a bi-weekly or maybe monthly email, and it's short. And whenever there's a public official, like a councilman or our representative or somebody like that, you know, let me know what I can do. And the answer is, you can read our monthly. It takes 20 seconds of your time, and they get a list of people who to send it to. And so I'll try and I'll talk to DSRSD again at CASA. And you know, it's pretty easy to do,
mm-hmm.
and but you get a list and you get the key people and you keep expanding it, and you know, they look at it, okay, that's about it. Because people don't get interested in wastewater except when you raise their rates
or have a spill. But I think there's a couple of different constituencies. There's one that might want the weekly staff, you know, technical report, you know, numbers, you know, kind of like reports we get, but boiled down. And then there's the educational efforts, like, please do not flush your prescription medications, take it to the local police station or whatever, and whatever else that we're not supposed to be flushing. Don't flush your motor oil. That's it.
I would really suggest that this is exactly what we're doing with NV5.
Right.
And perhaps they've done a lot of that legwork already.
A lot of agencies.
I mean, you see, we've actually implemented, but I think now Greg is... twice a month, sending out a general manager. It's read it or not.
Well, that's a good resource, but when we're talking about objectives,
yes, I agree.
I had said explore new avenues for broader dissemination of public education efforts. It sounds like we might want to add a second additional action item to explore branching out to, you know, to online social.
I don't know. I think you're right. Explore new avenues encompasses it, and it gives enough discretion to Jason and Kate to look at it and see what makes sense for us. What's the type of thing that would work for CMSA that we think would get to our constituents and get the type of information out there? Because I think we've just got this phenomenal story to tell about what a great resource recovery agency we are. And that just... needs to find a better forum, but let's leave it to them to figure out and bring a proposal to us about what makes the most sense.
So, right. Jason, do you have a communication staff member? Is it you, or
we don't have anybody that's a communications, you know, officer or public information staff person.
No,
we don't have anybody. I mean, Kate does a little of that when it comes to, you know, updating the website, mm-hmm. and we produce the newsletter. But we have, like you said, there's not a lot of interest, you know, from the general public about our business and operations right now. Mm-hmm. There's interest, you know, when we're out in the communities at the various public outreach and education events.
Right.
Those work really well. But in terms of people calling the agency or even visiting our website, it's pretty
light.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing that nobody is really interested. I mean, I sent a letter last week before we had the meeting here to Richard Halstead at the Independent Journal saying, Food Day, we're going to give a tour. Food to Energy Program, the PG&E Interconnect Project, which Jason talked about, filling up with recycled water, all those things, they'll be sure.
Of course.
But I would think something like the newsletter could be, the content could be recycled into individual snippets, you know, because you have maybe five articles or whatever, and that's five hits that you could spread out over a month in Facebook posts or whatever. So we're not talking about reinventing the wheel here. We're just talking about taking information we, for the most part, already have.
Yeah.
And figuring out new ways to get it out there.
So do we want this action to be more focused on the public education information? Or do you want it to be real, you know, broader, where it could include other things?
How about public educational and communication and general communication efforts? Public outreach and education.
Review it and try and figure out how to do it. You know, we're stumbling a little bit here.
Right. We don't want to tell you. Go see what you think, where we could have the most impact. Because I think that particularly the environmental community, I think, should be very interested in what's going on here. And it's just nice to create a public record of all of it so that folks that stumble upon it can see it all. But it has to be something that you know works. That, you know, that you can repurpose the newsletter however you can most efficiently that out there in different.
I'm just thinking that this could be something very simple, like just taking our public ed information, sending it to the cities and towns in the service area, and they could do it. Or it could be more expansive, to where we write articles or we have updated information about the agency, but then that requires quite a bit of staff time to do that. And most of the staff here is pretty busy most of the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we don't have anybody really specialize on, you know, communications. Some bigger agencies do.
Mm-hmm.
Even smaller agencies that have more, you know, public, you know, engagement, they'll have a communications person or a person that maybe half their function is communication.
Don't reinvent the wheel. Just figure out.
We don't need a staff.
We are really happy with our website.
That's what DSRSD does. Honestly, they write six lines, you know, and even if you paraphrase one of our agenda items, you know, a lot of it, interconnection agreement with PG&E, the agency intends to deliver something another kilowatt hours. Man, we're working on that. That's a terrific, you know, idea. And then how many pounds, we receive this many pounds of green waste from restaurants in San Rafael, you know, instead of going to the landfill that produces energy.
During the storm event, you can use the hashtag We're in Storm or whatever people are using and send a photo of the operations with a guess how much water we, you know, processed today.
I need to have a service contract with my son. He could work for Al, and he could help us to figure out all these new technologies.
Oh, he lives on the computer.
He has his Facebook and Instagram. He understands all that stuff really well.
Well,
I need some training on the weekends.
Yeah, there you go. There's a whole bunch of people up there that live like that. So anyway, we'll see what you can do. We'll add a broad action item, and we'll go from there.
We'll say explore new avenues to disseminate agency information.
Sounds good.
Just like that. We'll
great.
This is a terrific outline of work.
Isn't it great?
It's very easy to follow.
And visually, it's attractive. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, we have a summary of what happened.
And we'll look back.
That's cool.
Thank you.
All right.
I'd be delighted to move item 10 or 11.
Second.
With the new actions.
With the new actions.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Moving on to 12. 2017 Agency Facilities Master Plan Status Report.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. So this is just an update on the progress in the Facilities Master Plan since we've hired Quillo to prepare the plan. So as you recall, the plan has 11 separate tasks. One's optional and 10 are built into the agreement as things that have to be done. And each task is very focused on a process area or a certain activity of the agency, and have various findings and recommendations and costs. And the original schedule for the master plan was that these 10 draft technical memos for each task would be prepared at different times. Our project team would review those, we'd finalize the draft, and then we'd talk with the finance committee and the GAP manager about the various projects. Then these would be incorporated into a revised CIP, which would then be a major piece in the agency's next, you know, multi-year revenue plan. And the schedule was to have all of that wrapped up by March or so. And we developed that schedule because back in the late summer, when we were preparing the agreement with Corollo Engineers to bring to the board in September, the member agencies weren't quite sure if they were going to look at raising their sanitary sewer charges for fiscal year 18. So we built into our schedule that they're likely going to do that. So then we wanted to have all our information to develop the revenue plan before they went out through their public notification process. So that was the original schedule. Then we learned in the fall that the member agencies weren't going to raise their sewer rates in FY18, so that allowed us more time to develop the TMs, have more consideration by the staff, the project team, communication with the finance committee, the GPA managers. So once we learned that in the fall, we then asked Corollo, hey, do you guys have any problem with extending, you know, the schedule, you know, for some of these tasks that haven't been started yet? And they had no problem doing that. So the schedule then got shifted from having everything wrapped up, you know, in the early spring with a presentation to the board, you know, by August of this year, to have everything wrapped up by November of this year with a presentation to the board in early 2018, either the February or March meeting. And with that new revised schedule, which is attachment to the staff report, we'd still have all of the project, you know, things that we really need to do and more discretionary activities to discuss and consider by the fall, so the new finance committee could review those, vet those out, provide some, you know, direction to staff. We'd bring it to the GAPA manager meeting, discuss it, bring those comments back to the committee, use that iterative process, and then have a revised CIP to integrate into the new revenue plan. And the revenue plan has a CIP component, then it has a component that would balance the operating budget over, say, 5 years and maintain the operating reserve over that same 5-year period. So three pieces. But in this next revenue plan, based on our discussions last month with the 10-year financial forecast, it'll be primarily capital driven. So that's the revised schedule. So there's three of these technical memos that have been finalized in a draft form that, you know, we've vetted internally, and one of them you guys have looked at in detail, and that was the blending reduction alternative analysis that we presented to the board in December. During that discussion, we reviewed the storage alternatives and their costs, the treatment alternatives. You know, we informed the board that we have to select a preferred alternative to include our no feasible, you know, blending alternative analysis for our MPS permits for portal waste discharge. So then we brought two of the alternatives back at the January meeting, the what we call the no project alternative, just maintain the existing secondary system, which had no cost. And then the low cost treatment alternative, which was about $11.5 million, and that was to modify the secondary system to increase its capacity, which would reduce blending. So we included the no project alternative before waste discharge, and that got submitted to the Regional Water Board. So that TM was done according to schedule, and it was a good quality product. The second TM that's pretty much wrapped up looked at different ways of dewatering our biosolids. Currently, we're using we've used low-speed centrifuges in the past. We replaced those with high-speed centrifuges. So we looked at a few options. One, do we just continue rehabbing our existing centrifuges into the future? Do we procure new centrifuges at some point in the near future? New centrifuges are more energy efficient, and there's different ranges of capacities. Or do we use some other technologies, fan presses, screw presses? There's some systems that won't fit in the existing structure. That was one of the criteria. It fits in the existing building. We don't want to expand on the building at all. So that analysis came back and said, well, high-speed centrifuges are the best bet for the agency. They have the lowest net present value cost, which included all the capital costs, operations costs, maintenance costs, you know, hauling to the different reuse sites, tipping fees, things like that. And of the two centrifuge options, one was just maintain the existing. Well, prior to this work with Corollo and Master Plan, we did have the centrifuge manufacturer come out, Centresis, and do a condition assessment. They said that our staff had maintained those very well over the last, 15 years. They were in good condition, and they probably have at least 5 years of life left in them. So what we did then is we took that recommendation, integrated into the current CIP that you guys looked at last month, where we took a project that was going to be initiated this fiscal year to design new centrifuges, and we pushed it out 5 years. So the current plan for this is to use the current centrifuges, just maintain them as we have been for the next 4 years, and start the design of a project to replace those with new, more energy-efficient centrifuges. So that's kind of the status of that TM. It was all good. Then the last TM, which is the most, substantial, was a condition assessment of our facilities and infrastructure. And here's a copy of that TM. And what the scope of work of this was for Corollo to bring out, discipline-specific experts, structural engineer, electrical instrumentation, process, mechanical engineers, and spend a couple days inspecting everything within different areas within the facility, noting what their findings were. And some of their findings were pretty insignificant, and some were larger projects. Then what they did is within each area, they bundled the projects into a big project, they costed that out, and that's what's been included as the last attachment to the staff report. We agreed, with most of their findings, but what we did is we pulled together the project team, then we spent, a good portion of a couple days doing our own assessment of their findings, going to each area and just looking at each finding, saying, do we agree with the finding, yes or no? If we don't agree with it, why? If we agree with it, is that something that we should just write a work order for our staff to complete during the year? Or is it something that we need to include as a separate project in the CIP? Or do we bundle it with what Corollo is recommending? So we've done that assessment internally with all of our supervisors. And we are right now in the process of developing an action plan how to implement that. So that's worked out really well. So probably the first thing that we'll discuss with the finance committee at one of our meetings regarding the revenue plan is going to be the operational piece, to balance that out over several years, and the operational reserve. And the second piece will be just looking at, the final report for this condition assessment with recommendations on what we should include in the updated CIP and why. Just kind of overview of what's happened there. So I could answer any questions on those three or any of the other TMs that the scope of work summarized in the staff report.
Very well. My question is to do with the budget for the the study.
Yeah.
It looks to me like it goes on for at least two more quarters, so it's done the first of next year. And judging by the Gantt chart, I'm just sort of, it looks like it's roughly half done. Have we consumed roughly half of the Corollo budget?
Probably a little less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and when we were when we talked to Corollo about extending the duration, they had no problem with that, and they not once said, well, geez, we're going to need to, look at, some modifications to your fee schedule because of that. They haven't brought that up. I think that they were glad that they were extending it, because it had a very compressed, schedule for to get all this work done with all these, experts, in these particular process areas of the facility. So they've appreciated the extension of time also.
Okay, so budget is good.
Yeah.
I was looking, I really appreciate the risk ranking of the capital projects. And so floor grading was scary. Well, that's kind of scary. In other words, it's rusty and corroded, and we better get on that. Is that?
Yeah. And so
is staff going to do that?
In terms of the risks, what they did is we had initial discussions for this particular scope of work was, how do we prioritize the projects, right? And Corollo said what they've done for a lot of their clients was they do a risk analysis. And we said, well, that sounds great. So what they did is they said, what they look at is they look at what's the probability of something failing, and then what's the consequence of it failing. Then you get some numerical numbers. And once you develop that, it's pretty subjective.
Yeah.
But then you come up with a number, and you prioritize based on that number. For this particular one, this has to do with the floor and the grading and some of the pump bases within our aeration basement, where there's been some, chlorination solution spills from some of the scrubbers. And there's a large sections of steel grating in there. When we did our own assessment, we determined that we could handle all of this, well, most of it, that we don't have to bundle into a project. So we're going to remove the old galvanized grating, and we're going to replace it with fiberglass reinforced plastic grating so it won't corrode. We're going to have a small project where we're going to have a industrial coating contractor come in and put a chemical-resistant coating on the floor, so that way it protects the concrete. And we'll probably remove any concrete that has some chloride damage. And then some of the, Corolla noted some of the bases for these large bow tower pumps weren't in good shape. Large staff, we have a program where we're replacing these old cast iron or those steel bases with stainless steel bases. So that's kind of in process. And during our assessment, our maintenance staff said, well, they'll definitely prioritize those activities, and engineering is going to place the coating project into the CIP. So we'll be handling this pretty much internally.
So the finance committee is going to think about ways to finance this, including SRF loans, if possible?
Well, I think the first thing in the finance committee is going to look at what makes sense to include in the CIP.
Yeah.
Then once we kind of get an agreement at the committee level and staff and the GPA that all this stuff makes sense, and then it gets into the revenue plan that we bring to the board, then we'll have discussions with the committee and the board about are some of these things big enough where pay-as-you-go is not going to make sense, where we have to bundle them together and issue some form of debt. That's definitely a possibility. Thanks for bringing that up.
So some of these projects, remember we had a $36 million CIP is what we had prior to this study.
Yes.
Was it 36 or 36?
Yeah, 36. About 36, yeah.
And is some of these projects are included here, or are most of the projects are these in addition to our CIP?
Some of these, a couple of these projects listed in here are already in the CIP.
Oh,
a couple of them. Some of these projects in here, we're just going to handle. They're not going to find their way in the CIP. Parts of some of these bundle projects, we don't agree with, so we're probably just going to not consider those.
Okay.
But there's going to, we bring into the finance committee some much bigger projects, bigger dollar right. amounts than, $4 or $5 million. If we want to install a 1 megawatt new high efficiency cogen engine, that might be something we want to do to plan for a bigger organic waste program and selling more green power to green energy. That would have a big price tag, and that'd be something that we look at maybe financing with some of these other larger projects that are in the CIP now or maybe are on this list here. But that's all kind of, just up in the air right now because there's a lot of unknowns based on the findings from probably six of the other tasks in the master plan. That make sense?
It does.
Any other questions or comments?
Well, the other question was biosolids management alternative. CNSA has multiple beneficial reuse options for our biosolids. What are they? What are the biosolids we use now to generate electricity?
We use the biogas
yep.
to generate energy. We use the biosolids, which is the liquid that's removed yep. from the digesters. Mm-hmm. We dewater that.
Yeah.
We store it up in hoppers, and every day a large dump truck, clean our dump truck comes, and we haul it to one of the three beneficial reuse sites. One site is a redwood landfill where it's mixed with green waste and other types of woody bulky material, and it's applied as alternate daily cover. There's only a small amount of landfill can be kept open each day.
Right.
So you can cover it with that biosolids, bulky material as ADC, and that's considered beneficial reuse. That's going away with CalRecycle's organic waste diversion regulations. So that's why we included this task in the CIPs, because that's an all year solution is ADC, mm-hmm. right? But it'll go away within several years, 5 or 6 years. The other two options right now, alternatives, are land application at farms, which primarily those right now are in Solano County. There is a farm in Sonoma County that we historically took the biosolids to, but there are some issues with some potential nitrate contamination in areas. And then the PUC discovered that, and they have a lot of biosolids at the PUC, San Francisco, so they're starting to bring some up there. And then last year, we included additional funds in our budget to take 2 truckloads a week of the biosolids to a new biofertilizer facility at the Fairfield Sewer District, which is operated by the Listec Corporation.
Oh, okay.
And that has 150,000 wet ton capacity, so they handle all of Fairfield's biosolids. You know, we have two truckloads going up there. So that's, if we want to pay a lot more, we could take all of our biosolids there as one option in the future. And I know this deck, they're working with different, you know, farmers and agricultural site users. They've identified some that are actually using their biofertilizer now. Mm. So those are three alternatives now, but we built this in here because there are some land application sites that you can take biosolids to year-round. Mm-hmm. But they're not in this area, but maybe they're Northern California or maybe Southern California. So that's going to be an option that they'll evaluate and look at what are the trucking costs there, what are the tipping fees, and we'll have that kind of scoped out.
Good question. Anything else? Okay, so the agenda and the staff report says you wanted us to receive the report and provide comments and direction. No vote necessary, right?
No, just listen to me.
Okay. It is hereby received.
Thank you.
Consider it received.
Okay.
All right. North Bay Watershed Association report. Michael?
Yeah, we had it here. Several months ago, I suggested that we have this facility and everybody could come see it, and they did. And Jason took us on a lovely tour. You're not allowed to take your phone into any of the facilities out here because probably a bunch of different reasons, but spark possibility. And explosions out there. So that was very interesting. I had no idea. But I said, oh, come on, Jason, I want to take a picture of our truck. You know? Nope. I had to leave it here.
Yeah, follow rules, right?
No. All right. Mm-hmm. No.
That's right.
He discussed the food to energy program and how the stuff gets from there. He showed us the hopper out there. We've put it in, feed it. Everybody was really enthralled. We also filled up. We had the RVS truck out there filling up for the first time and took a lot of pictures, not me, but they did, the truck getting filled up. The IJ was not interested. And we talked about the cogeneration cross-connect stuff to PG&E. And everybody was really thrilled to be here, number one. And number two, as they were leaving, they were all going, how come we don't go and see all the other plants in our region and see what everybody's doing? Because they're all different.
Right.
So I think that's going to happen where every few months, based on what we did here, we're going to go look at what other treatment plants in the area are doing and go from there. So it's an amazing organization.
Can I get appointed to that board now since we're doing the field trips?
That's yeah. That's all
you're
is.
On it. Thank you. Oral reports by commissioners or general manager. Are there any commissioner reports? Jason?
Just a couple quick things. One is the solids handling building ventilation projects completed by Bueller Construction. That was awarded for, you know, $250,000 back early this year, so it's been wrapped up. One very small change order, and likely at the September meeting we'll have the item for the board to accept the project as complete and authorize us to file the notice of completion with the county. And then Underwater Resources has completed the inspection of the diffuser section of our marine outfall. They found a couple of diffuser assemblies that were damaged, so our maintenance staff built some new ones and Bueller installed them out there. We may have a larger project in the future. The last, you know, 30 or so, I need to see the report, I haven't seen it yet, are buried under bay mud of the individual diffusers, which that could limit, you know, the gravity flow, you know, hydraulics of the outfall, not necessarily the flow from the pump station. But we have to do some, you know, analyses internally, you know, based on, you know, those being covered up. And we may have a larger project in the future to uncover those diffusers and extend them. But we'll figure that out, and I'll let you guys know. Mm-hmm. It'll be in FY19, you know, business plan.
Sounds expensive.
Will that require environmental clearance and everything?
We would have to check with the Regional Water Board and other, you know, Fish and Game and other agencies. When we periodically we have contracts where divers actually go into that 1,000-foot section at the end of the outfall. And they bring, you know, large hoses in there, and they have a barge set up in the outfall with suction dredge pumps, and they pump out settled material, and they side cast it on the bay floor away from the outfall. When that's happened in the past, we've received, you know, authorization from various regulatory agencies. So we know who to contact and what questions to ask.
They go inside the outfall?
Yeah, there's access, you know, ports at either end.
Well,
it
can't be
close to
right?
No, the divers.
Is it big enough for the divers to actually go in?
People.
It's 7-foot diameter. Wow. You can stand.
I still was
so
yours.
Yeah,
so sort of underwater tunnel. I have a comment. I thought these were all excellent. The responses to NAPCO, they were different.
Yeah.
They were different, and they had different points, but we agreed on a lot of them, and I thought it was really quite good.
Yeah.
All of them thoughtful.
Yeah, very thoughtful.
But how about item number one? Jason is now a published co-author.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was cool.
Academic journal, so congratulations.
I really didn't do much except provide a lot of information and review the report.
You don't have to tell people that.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
We don't need
But what I actually thought was great about this is that this particular professor found CMSA. So obviously CMSA's reputation is such that it attracted attention. That's really something to thank,
right.
Not just Jason, but all of the staff.
How did he find you?
I was giving, you know, food energy, you know, organic waste program presentations, you know, to CASA, their annual conference, and then I was participated in a series of webinars, one with the Water Environment Federation and one with the US EPA. And I think that the CEC, some of their staff saw, you know, the presentation of our program on one of the webinars. And when Professor Jeff Cow, when his original, you know, agency that he was going to work with, you know, backed out, he informed the CEC and they said, hey, well, we just saw this presentation, you know, maybe it was the EPA one, and you should contact, you know, CMSA and talk with their staff because they have a project that kind of fits, you know, what we approved in your grant. So he contacted us, and we said, well, sure, we'll work with you. And so he was happy. He got the grant money and reimbursed us for all of our analyses we did, all of our staff time, which was good.
Very impressive.
Yeah, I read this in the Journal of the Air and Waste Management Association magazine.
You really did?
No.
Yes, subscription to that.
I was going to say, if you actually purchased that issue for $102, that's impressive.
Probably not.
So our next meeting is?
August is canceled, so our next meeting is September 12th.
September 12th.
If there's nothing else, I think we're done here. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.